Josh Haston here, Israel Uncensored on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. It is Monday, May 18th, 2020, the 24th of Iyar, 5780. Hope you're doing well in your part of the world. Hope you're safe out there. Be healthy, everyone. Coming to you from beautiful Jerusalem, where it's crazy hot outside. We'll talk about the weather later on in the show, but we are in an unprecedented heat wave here in Israel. But who knows? Hopefully that will burn the corona out of the atmosphere. I don't know how that works. Maybe that's true. I've heard rumors of that, but I don't think that's been proven. But hopefully that's the case. Maybe that's why the Lord Hashem has sent us this intense heat wave. We're going to go to the phone here in just a second to speak to one of those individuals who has been on the front lines over the last several months in the fight against the coronavirus here in Israel and in different places around the world. Natalie Sopinski, she was a guest on the show. I think it's been like 3 or 4 years since she's been on the program. She is the director of development at Rescuers Without Borders. They are one of the first response organizations, volunteer organizations. They used to be known as Hatzalah Yehuda V'Shomron, Hatzalah Judea and Samaria. They are on the front lines throughout Judea and Samaria and in different places around the world, hence the change of the name to Rescuers Without Borders. They're all over the place, and they are one of the top first response organizations out there. And of course, the challenges with the coronavirus, unprecedented, which they've been on the front lines fighting over the last several months. So she's the director of development of the organization. She's also their spokesperson in the U.S., Natalie, who lives in the beautiful southern Hebron Hills. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Josh.
So, first of all, how are you doing? How are you feeling? Here are the kids.
I'm hot like you. It's hot. It's hot. That's all.
it's really hot. So. Thank God. That's the most important thing right now. And I want to hear about what you guys have been doing and the challenges you've been facing over the last several months. But let's start with the current reality. The kids are now back in school throughout Israel. Israel has done well, relatively speaking, compared to other countries in the world. You still have countries which are under lockdown for the unforeseeable future. They could be under lockdown for another month or two. I heard California, perhaps, until the end of July. What are your thoughts here as the kids are going back to school in Israel?
Well, Israel's done a great job, and I love to use the word a superior job, okay? Finally, Israel, nobody can deny that little Israel has done an amazing job here and is a leader, a world leader. The children going to school is just one more thing among the long list of things we've been doing to get back to life. And, you know, that just shows that we can overcome anything. Israel can turn, I love this expression, can turn on a dime, right? Something hard happens to us, something bad happens to us, we bear down, we get through it, and we move on. I love it, you know? And you know, they're going back to school. Okay, they're wearing a mask, and we had to get hand sanitizer. Yofi, yala, nalech.
So you're not overly concerned, worried, we did this too fast, you think this is the right decision, you think the schools are prepared. What's your take being on the front lines as you know, a first response organization?
Okay. So that you did not ask me as a mother. No, but I'm not a worry type of mother. And what we have learned, the old, you know, the weak, the people who have difficulty breathing with their lungs. Our medics have been doing testing, for instance, they've been testing people, the disabled, the old age homes. They've been getting private calls for testing for people who have children who have difficulty going into the classroom, special needs, those kind of kids. The mainstream children, the normal kids, the healthy kids, I'm not that concerned. I'm not. Wash your hands, stay away from each other. They're going to get dirty. They don't listen anyway. They're not, you know, I'm not really that concerned. And also, if there is another outbreak, right, if there's a second wave, they say, so we'll all do it again. I'm not one of those concerned.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we all hope it doesn't come to that. But you guys have been Hatzalah Yehuda V'Shomron, Rescuers Without Borders, the official name these days. I mean, you guys were in on this from the very beginning, back from Purim, from the beginning of March.
Right.
Talk about, you mentioned the testing, but talk about how you guys have responded to the challenges of the coronavirus and maybe describe how this is, I guess, different from your regular responsibilities, which include saving lives on a daily basis, whether they're terror attacks or car accidents or whatnot. Talk about how this has been different and some of the challenges and some of the positives that have come from this whole experience.
And so we have turned into one of the top testing agencies in the country. We have, you know, with Magen David Adom, learned to test. They got the course together and our medics learned to test. So when people called 101 and, you know, we all were supposed to call 101 and not go to the hospitals, which kept the hospitals totally operating fine, our medics were out there testing, responding to calls to people with symptoms. And they went to the people's homes, individual homes, and test families, children, and did the test right on site. We have pictures of them, like, outside the people's front door doing the test on site, all covered up. We had to do a campaign for suits and masks in Israel. We had to do a campaign in the States. We had to do a campaign in France. We're our supporters. Forget suits and masks, because all of a sudden, our rescuers, who, like you said, respond to car accidents and terror, had to become these testing experts. And they did. They did. They did it. And they're still doing it. Now they are going to the institutes. They're going to the old age homes and they're testing. They're testing the disabled. They had to get people to see if they're allowed to leave, because those people have been in lockdown a lot longer than all of us. So they're being called down to these institutes all over the country. All over the country. They were in Dimona. They were in the South, the Negev last week. They're all over the place.
So your organization, you mentioned that you're not only here in Israel, but you mentioned France in specific. I mean, are there people on the ground in France from your organization, or have Israelis actually flown there? And if you can, describe, you know, the difference between our, as we said, relative success, or, you know, if you want to be very positive, great success in light of the coronavirus and what they've experienced over there, the horrible situation in France and in other countries in Europe. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay, so we have done a few rescues. Now, we have teams in different countries. France is where we have a lot of support. But what we have done in the past is we've gone to natural disasters. I'm looking at my notes because there's so many places. Nepal, Mali, Kenya, Ukraine, and Burkina Faso are some of the places we've helped just now during Corona. We have teams there. We have trained teams there. When there was a natural disaster, we went there, we helped them, and we trained them. So now we have actual people there, and we got them equipment, testing kits, and they're doing testing there. Those, I think, seven countries I just mentioned. So yeah, we've been doing stuff around the world. You know, I don't know where they are in terms of how successful they've been as a country, like we are. But yeah, right. We've been doing some stuff. We've also done stuff here. I gotta tell you, we've been doing amazing campaigns here. At the very beginning of this outbreak, our rescuers went into the hospitals with gifts from Sabon, and they paired up with a store, Sabon. They do soaps and perfumes, and they got gift bags to nurses. And like 2 weeks later, they got another call. Hadassah Hospital wanted the same thing. Then they teamed up with a store called Biton Foods. It's kind of like a Rami Levy chain. And they teamed up and got gift cards for food. And they gave them to all the doctors in Shaaret Zedek. A few weeks later for Pesach, they got games and they delivered games to all those families that were in lockdown in Modin Elit, I think. Right. I mean, one thing after another they're doing. Very, very impressive.
So that's that is impressive. That is amazing. I mean, we've had so many come out, whether it's the IDF or other organizations, somebody doing so much good over this period. I mean, I'm hoping that is something that we've learned, you know, throughout. Everyone is trying to, you know, as we're coming out of this period, trying to understand, you know, what was this all about? Obviously, we don't know why God did it, but we can try to take away the good from it and learn from this experience and move forward. I mean, that's essentially, I mean, I think what's really in our control to do, because so much is not in our control.
People here in a crisis, they come together. They really, it's not at all the me mentality. What can I do? What can I do to help? It happened here. The IDF was all over the place. The IDF was taking food to old people. They were people, you know, visiting them. That is not typical army behavior. That is not typical army role, delivering food. They did it.
And those who may not have been to Israel or don't understand how our society works, and those who have been here and have seen, you know, the same person who will cut you off on the highway 5 minutes later, if your car breaks down, he's the same guy who's changing your tire. And I've literally seen that happen. But yeah, that happens. But that's just the way it is here. I mean, Israelis come together during times of crisis, during times of war. I mean, people here, I think the only real comparison that I've seen, and it's definitely not the same story, but a lot of people, because of the masks, a lot of people are saying that this was similar to the Gulf War back in 91, where Israelis had to wear masks. I mean, you know, obviously one was a war where we had 39 Scud rockets fired at Israel. Now we're talking about a global pandemic, a virus, but people are making that comparison. I've seen it more than once, comparing the reality, because of the masks, because of the quarantine, because of the safe room, because of the lockdown. I mean, that is really what I've seen.
Like a war,
but war with those masks. But I'm glad that you're optimistic going forward. Again, I don't know if you've heard of this theory about the heat or the sun could possibly kill the virus. Is that something you guys have heard?
Yeah, I've heard
you believe
all.
It?
Oh, sure.
Do you believe that one? Yeah, you think it's true?
I've been outside from the beginning, walking around every day. Fresh air, the heat killing it. I mean, if you look at the history, what did they do when people had the flu? Way back, the Spanish flu, and they set up those tents outside. They put people outside. They lay people outside on their beds to get in the sun. You know, being cooped up isn't good for anybody.
Right. So you would recommend, I mean, obviously people don't want to dehydrate and it's really extreme outside, but you would recommend people go outside 10, 15 minutes or whatever it is just to get a little sun, get into the heat.
I say keep the windows open and let that horrible hot, it's like a hairdryer air coming in, you know, or get outside 15 minutes, get outside. You know, I'm lucky. I like you. I live in the Yishuv and we walk around here. I walk around. You have to walk. You have to. You want milk? You have to walk to the store. You know, you have to walk. You want your mail? You have to walk to the mail. You have to walk around. And nobody here in Susia, and we have 200 families, no one has gotten corona here. In the southern Hebron Hills, there were 40 cases. Yeah. I think 40 cases here. You know, here and there. None. We're the biggest yishuv. Why nothing here? They're opening a corona hotel here. Nothing here. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thank God.
That's another thing that Israel's done. You know, we actually made a small video, the 10 ways Israel has been fighting corona and winning. I don't know if you saw it, but one of those things is these corona hotels that Israel, the Ministry of Health, has opened up around the country. People land in Israel and they are taken by the IDF immediately to a hotel and they're put there for 2 weeks. Amazing.
Yeah, you know, some people are actually happy about that, to land in Israel and spend 2 weeks at the Dead Sea, even if it is in quarantine.
Right.
But yeah, that's one of the things we did. I understand that they're starting to scale back from that.
Sure, they don't need it.
Because thank God the numbers are down and people are getting healthy and let's hope it stays that way. Let's hope we do not have a second wave or a third wave and. You know, all those people out there, and I don't understand the science behind it, whether we're talking about the antibodies or the vaccines or
I don't understand it at all. They've been working HIV? They've been working for 40 years, I think. Why do they think they're going to get something for this? Yeah, the common cold, they have no cure. Why does anyone think they're going to have a cure for this so quickly?
Right. No, it'll take time. I mean, hopefully there'll be something. And please, God, I'm not going to say let's go back to the way things were, because nobody wants to go back to the way things were. But let's go back to a situation where those who are at risk or our grandparents or whatnot can move around a little bit more freely. And, you know, restaurants can open without people worrying about getting sick, God forbid. And let's hope for that day. And hopefully that day will come soon here in Israel and all over the world. I want to thank you so much for your time, Natalie Sapinski. If people want to learn more about Rescuers Without Borders, the work you do, the holy work that you do here in Israel and in countries around the world, how can they get in touch with you or the organization?
Easiest is our website. It's www.hatzalah.org.il, just like it sounds.
Hatzalah, spell it H-A-T-Z-A-L-A-H.
Right, that's right.
Did I get that right? .org.il, or you can reach Natalie through me. Right. If not, I can put you in touch, dear listener, I can put you in touch with Natalie directly if you want to get involved in the organization. There's
our
sticker. Rescuers Without Borders, doing amazing work on the front lines in Judea, Samaria, and countries. I appreciate it. Countries all over the world. Stay healthy. Stay safe. And hope all is well down there. Or glad to hear, actually, all is well down there in the southern Hebron Hills, one of my favorite places in the entire country. We're going to take a break and come right back with much more. There's a new government here in Israel. We want to talk about that. We'll discuss the weather and many other topics here on Israel Uncensored. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Remember always, said President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, that you and I especially are descended from immigrants and revolutionists. We look for a younger generation that is going to be more American than we are. Now, I don't know that I could say I'm more American than FDR, but I can say that I'm a descendant of immigrants, and I've got more than a little bit of the revolutionist in me, because I'm Rav Mike Foyer, and this is The Jewish Story.
Join Rav Mike Foyer for the best Jewish history podcast, The Jewish Story, on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com.
And we are back. Josh Haston here, Israel Uncensored, on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com for the 18th of May, 2020. Thanks again to Natalie Sopinski from the amazing organization Rescuers Without Borders and all the holy work they do saving lives in Israel and around the world. Israel finally has a government after, what, about a year and a half? Times of Israel reports that the new government, which was sworn in yesterday, will have 34 ministers and then will go up to 36 once the coronavirus crisis is over, according to the coalition agreement. That will make it the largest government in Israel's history. Likud incumbent Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will continue in his role as Prime Minister for the first 18 months to be succeeded by Blue and White leader Benny Gantz. Gantz will be alternate prime minister for the first 18 months. I guess that's a new title, APM, alternate prime minister. Netanyahu will serve in that role for the second 18 months. Cabinet positions will be divided equally between the Netanyahu and Gantz-led blocks. Each block will also have 8 deputy ministers. And I have the whole list, which I'm not going to read, here in front of me, of all the new ministers and their new responsibilities. I mean, they came up with so many different roles and responsibilities and things that we've never had or seen before, but that's the way politics works around here. You got to please your coalition partners. That's the name of the game. But after 3 elections and all this back and forth, Israel finally has a new government. I'm hoping there isn't any second wave of corona. I mean, the whole purpose of this emergency, from what I understood, this emergency government or this national unity government was to work on fighting the corona. Now that kids are back in school and restaurants are scheduled to open, I think, or at least there is a discussion about restaurants opening coming up, and who knows, it's only a matter of time if everything stays quiet, so to speak. Maybe the airport, maybe synagogues and everything else. Then the question is, why do we need an emergency government if everything is fine? That's the real question. At this point, should it still be considered an emergency government? But anyway, at the end of the day, we do have a government. Things are moving forward. Please God, corona will stay quiet, the situation, and everything will be okay. And as we are recording here on Monday morning, I just actually got a text, literally this second here, from the Ministry of Health. I'm going to open that up right now and see the latest statistics and numbers here. As of Monday morning, we have had 0 deaths over the last 24 hours, thank God. Those who have died as a result of corona, the number is 272 victims of corona. 13,014 people have gotten better from corona out of the 16,621 who were ill. There are currently 3,335 active patients, if you will, 3,335. But that number is down from yesterday. And get this, Okay, I don't know if I've seen this for a long time, for months now. According to the statistics here, we do not have a new case, a reported case of corona. Again, it all is based on who was tested and who wasn't tested or whatnot. But all out of all of those who were tested over the last 24 hours, I think this is a first. Over the last several months, we have zero new cases reported. Thank God. And let's not forget, there are 47 people who are on ventilators as of now. 47 people. So everyone should have a speedy recovery, a refuah shlema. And I just broke, that was breaking news here on the show, because I just got that text right now. But going back to the story of our new government, Arut Sheva, Israel National News, reports the prime minister yesterday said at his inauguration, it is time to apply sovereignty in Judea and Samaria. Netanyahu reiterated his pledge to apply sovereignty in Judea and Samaria. It is time, he said, to apply Israeli law to the territories in Judea and Samaria. The step will not push peace off, but will rather bring it closer. Hundreds of thousands of residents of Judea and Samaria will not be moved from their homes. He continued, the whole issue of sovereignty is only at issue because I've personally, said the prime minister, worked to promote it for 3 years. He added, with all my tremendous appreciation for the support of the U.S., I repeat what I've said for decades, Israel's security rests on our strength. So again, more talk about the application of Israeli law in Judea and Samaria. We'll see how that goes. And again, what will then be of the, according to the plan, the 70%, which is scheduled or earmarked to be outside of the Jewish state of Israel, based on so many different conditions that the Arabs under the PA will have to uphold. So we'll have to see what in fact is in store for us. On one hand, applying sovereignty, great. On the other hand, if it doesn't come with the price of a so-called PA, what they call Palestinian state in the heartland of Judea and Samaria, that is definitely an existential threat to the entire country. And I highly would recommend Israel do not go back down a path towards the establishment of any type of such entity. The European Union, of course, going crazy. The United Nations going crazy about the potential of Israel officially applying sovereignty in Judea and Samaria. UN Special Coordinator for the Middle East peace process, according to the J Post, Nikolai Mladenov on Sunday said that annexation is a big threat. It is prohibited under international law and will undermine the rules-based international order. That's absolutely false. It's not illegal under international law. It's not prohibited. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's issuing warnings saying it will have legal, political, security implications that will damage prospects for peace. Yeah, like we've had peace over the last 25 years going down this path of turning over strategic areas to the Palestinian Authority, areas which have ended up in the hands of Hamas as well, namely Gaza. But yet the European Union still wants to go down this policy of insanity, which is repeating the same thing over and over and expecting different results. That's what they are striving for somehow, the European Union and the UN. And he concluded by saying the exact opposite of Prime Minister Netanyahu, saying that annexation will diminish the prospects of normalization of ties between Israel and the Arab states. That is absolutely false. Israel has better ties, number one, with the Arab states than we've ever had. And number two, things were so much better, that's for sure, between Israel and her neighbors here, those now living under the PA, the Arabs under the PA. Before 1993, before we went down this path of Oslo, things were much better for everybody. So I don't understand why that is still being pushed. I mean, I do, because these different entities, the EU, UN, do not have Israel's best interests in mind, so I understand how it's possible. I'm just not willing to accept it. As we talked about earlier in my interview with Natalie Sapinski from Rescuers Without Borders, 1 million children approximately returned to their classrooms on Sunday following a two-month forced hiatus due to the coronavirus outbreak reported here by JNS. with the rest of the country's elementary, middle, and high schools slated to resume operations by the end of the week. That is the reality in Israel. We are opening up. There have been a few cases already where schools have opened, and it turned out that somebody, I think in both cases a teacher, was positive for the virus, and those schools were subsequently closed. I hope those are the exceptions to the rule. I heard of a school in Jerusalem and another one in Rehovot, which opened this week and are already closed, and those students forced into a two-week mandatory quarantine. I hope that does not represent a pattern here in Israel. And finally, the weather here in Israel. And again, I love the winter personally. I love when it's cold. I'm always happy when it rains. We had one of the greatest winters ever in Israel with the Kinneret, the Lake of Galilee at such a high point where it hasn't been, making up for all those years of drought over the last two winters. We've had so much rain. Nevertheless, Israel, and I hope for the best here in terms of burning out the corona, if that's even possible, and I have no way of knowing. But it is reported here the longest and most extreme heat wave ever in the history of the country. The temperature here today, Monday, in Jerusalem, where I am, is about 100 degrees Fahrenheit, 38 degrees Celsius. Other parts of the country, up to 113 degrees Fahrenheit or 45 degrees Celsius. That reported in Eilat and in Tiberias, Tiberia there on the Lake of Galilee. That's crazy heat, and it is extreme because it is not set to go away until Friday. But everything is a blessing from God, and the heat is also a blessing, even though it's like ridiculous outside. I mean, if you go to the pool and get out, I mean, you're dry within like 3 minutes. I mean, it is so hot, and in certain places in the center of the country, humid as well. In other places like Eilat and in Jerusalem, it's less humid. But nevertheless, crazy heat wave here in Israel. And hopefully this will burn out the corona. I don't know. But it remains to be seen. But it's a gift from God. Even the heat is a gift from God. Even the extreme heat, we have to believe, is a gift from God. Everyone should drink a lot of water. Make sure that you put your wallet or keys in the back seat if you have children. God forbid, nobody should forget a child in the car. Drink a lot of water, and whether it's the heat or whether it's the corona or whatever it is, be safe out there, wherever you are in the wonderful world of ours. My name is Josh Haston. Want to send a shout out to Benjamin Bresky, engineer extraordinaire, Tabitha Epstein, for everything she does behind the scenes. Get in touch with me during the week, Josh at thelandofisrael.com, on Facebook, Joshua Haston, or Josh Haston Israel Advocacy and Journalism, on Twitter at Josh Haston, and now on Instagram as well. Be well, be safe out there. Shalom, shalom. From another beautiful day here in Jerusalem, the eternal capital of Israel and the Jewish people. Shalom.
You're listening to the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com, broadcasting the truth and beauty of Israel to the world.